Lord's Day morning, we're going to be hearing Revelation 11, verses 15 through 18. Revelation 11, verses 15 through 18. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." So when the seventh trumpet sounds, you have these loud voices, and it doesn't say whose they are, and it implies perhaps the entire multitude who are in glory. But there are these loud voices in heaven that say, "The kingdoms of this world have become that of our Lord and of his Christ." And as folks who often request Psalm 2, on Lord's Day afternoons, you probably recognize that language, that the nations rage and kings and peoples plot in vain against the Lord and his anointed. And that's what Christ means. That's what Messiah means, the anointed one. And you remember the apostles, when they were dragged before the Sanhedrin after they had disobeyed men because they had to obey God and preach Christ, and they prayed to God in Acts chapter 4, acknowledging that the kings and peoples who plotted together were actually represented especially by the Jews and the Romans coordinating together. And you'll remember the gospel, even remarking on how Herod and Pilate had been enemies up until that day, and the one thing they could agree to conspire on was to execute the Lord Jesus. And yet, the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead, and the opening verses of the book of Romans say that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by that rising from the dead. And that too has a connection to Psalm 2, doesn't it? "Today I have begotten you." It is a declaration of the Lord Jesus' sonship that after the kings of the earth in their rage have done their worst, God is still laughing. His Christ is still receiving the kingdom. So the praise here is very similar to that praise at the end of Acts chapter 4. And it combines the first seven verses of Psalm chapter 2, which listening to the apostles and listening to Romans chapter 1 have their fulfillment in the death and resurrection of Jesus, that he has come into his kingdom. In fact, he has ascended on high, and he sits on the throne. And notice that he is also here recognized as God. Several times in the book of Revelation, God and Christ have been joined together. For instance, the saints are the saints of God and Christ in the book of Revelation. And the throne is the throne of God and Christ. And here, the kingdoms of the world have become that kingdom of, or the kingdoms of, our Lord and of his Christ. And so he's been declared to be the Son of God with power by his coming into his kingdom. That's what he said right before he ascended, isn't it? "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So, yes, the nations are angry. You see that in verse 18, also referring us back to Psalm 2, I believe. The nations were angry, but your wrath has come. And the rage of the nations at the beginning of Psalm 2 are nothing compared to the wrath of the Son, because the Son is told by the Father in that psalm that he is going to have a rod of iron by which he will dash to smithereens, shatter to smithereens, all the other kingdoms. And then the psalm, of course, concludes urging the kings of the earth and urging all to fear him with trembling, to kiss the Son before his wrath is kindled but a little, or perhaps before his wrath is quickly kindled. And so, as the seventh trumpet sounds, and this is, you know, one of these cycles in the book of Revelation, the sixth seal, the seventh trumpet, the sixth bowl, they all cover the same event. You can see that in chapter 6, verse 17, chapter 11, verse 18, and chapter 16, verse 14. And as this trumpet announces that the fulfillment of the judgment of the wrath of God, or the wrath of Christ, rather, and very specifically here, is about to happen, they are rejoicing with the words and the concepts of Psalm 2. So when we pray in the context of Jesus having risen from the dead, Jesus having ascended into heaven, Jesus having sat down at the right hand of the Father on his throne, we are rejoicing that all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto him. We're rejoicing that the rage of the nations couldn't stop Christ, and that he has wrath that is coming. This is one of the things that, at least in the church context I grew up in, we didn't celebrate the wrath of God. It was kind of a necessary evil that you talked about every once in a while to try to get people converted. But in Scripture, his wrath is one of his perfections. It's part of his glory. It's that much more amazing that he glorifies his mercy upon those who deserve wrath, such as we are. But we look back to his victory over death and his victory over the rage of the nations, and we look forward to his shattering the nations and his pouring out his wrath. So, sixth seal, seventh trumpet, sixth bowl, all do that. And we sound this note of praise that we get in Psalm 2, so that we rejoice not just that the dead would be judged, verse 18, but it also means that the time will have come for his saints to be rewarded. End of verse 18, that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints and those who fear your name, small and great. And then he says this thing at the end, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. And there are two things that I think really help us understand what they mean there by destroy the earth. One is actually a little bit further in the book of Revelation. When Babylon is being judged in chapter 19, she is described as the one who has ruined the earth by her fornications. And so the destruction of the earth doesn't come from, you know, too much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. It comes by wickedness and the filling of the earth with wickedness. The new heaven and the new earth is one in which righteousness dwells. And indeed, John, in one of his letters, in his first letter, describes Jesus as the one who came to destroy the works of the devil. And as those who are daily putting our own flesh to death and looking forward to when the work that the Lord has begun in us will be completed, and who experience much of the grief of the fornication of Babylon and the works of the devil. We very much look forward to those things being destroyed, so that there is no more sin, there is no more sorrow, there are no more tears. So this is a backwards looking at the death and resurrection and ascension and session of Christ, but also very much forward looking for when he finally pours out his wrath, judges the dead, and rewards his people, destroying finally and fully the works of the devil. Those who live in light of the current reign of Christ and of the coming wrath of Christ ought to pray to and praise him in light of both, rejoicing in his victory and looking forward to its completion.